Teach us to pray, part six. Well, we started out with a prayer message. Everybody was excited. But you see, there's such a gravity. There's such a gravity, a weight, that will pull you back into your old and your old ways. That's why Paul talked about a renewing of the mind. A renewing of the mind, because it will, I don't care, you can talk about prayer, you can talk about it, and you can get it, and then you get pulled right back into your old adage of prayer, of what is prayer. And I'm going to show you some things today. And guys, we mostly pray out from the wrong mind, from the wrong mindset. And I've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, in Matthew 6, you know, Matthew 11, Lord, teach us to pray. And then we went right into Matthew 6 and been in that one verse about the inner end of the closet and, you know, the secret place. And last week we talked about the mountain brought us out to bring us in. And you see, there's a place of prayer. There's a place of prayer. Your Father, which is in secret, seeth in secret. Nobody believes this verse when he says, your Father which seeth in secret knows your needs before you even know how to ask. But we don't believe that part, do we? We really feel like we need to tell him. Oh, Josh, brother, I'm sick. Please pray for me. Dear Father, did you know Jim was sick?
No.
Thanks, Josh. I didn't know. I was watching a ball game. Let me turn that ball game off. Let me get back over here. I mean, this is what we do. Because, I mean, do you not believe? I mean, when we say a prayer like that out of our mouths, we are confessing that we don't believe it's finished. Well, I'm just telling you, we don't believe it's finished. But what we're saying is, God has not provided me. Peter said, with his stripes we're healed, E-D. It's past tense. So we don't really believe that. We really believe that we need to get God off his throne to move and to do something. We don't really believe Jesus when he said, what was his last dying words on the cross? We don't really believe that. It is finished. Do we really believe? I mean, how do we end our prayers? When we pray, what's the last word we say? Well, I mean, before we get to Jesus, well, right after Jesus' name, what's the last word we pray?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus says, I am the Amen. I am the Amen. You thought you was ending it. But he's standing there saying, who will come to me? Who will come to me? The Amen. The faithful of God. Let me read you this verse. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Thy Father which seeth in secret. You know, I just think in my mind, so many verses, So many things. I mean, have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard this? And I'm just throwing these out there at you. You know, the nations that will humble themselves and pray. Call upon the Lord, He'll remember them and He'll. So now we're like, you know, I get these emails all the time about a national prayer summit, a day of prayer. We got to humble ourselves and get God to bless this nation again. This is the mighty United States of America. We need to. Jesus didn't preach the United States of America. Jesus didn't preach Russia. He didn't preach socialism. He didn't preach capitalism. He said the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. It is at a hand. There's only one nation, guys. There's only one. Now, I'm going to show you something that Jesus said, and right in your Bibles in John 17, He says, I pray not for the world. Now, that's Jesus. Red letter. I got a red letter. King James Bible says, I pray not for the world. So if Jesus ain't praying for the world, why are you? You better than Him. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm challenging you on your prayer. Are you praying for the world? Something that God done away with in His cross. Something that, behold, He taketh away the first. Are you trying to get God to change His mind like Abraham did? Let me show you something here. We looked at this the other night. You know that God made a covenant with the seed. Now this, I ain't even got this in my notes. We're just winging it. God made a covenant with the seed. He said, with thee and thy seed, with me and thy seed. Well, here's Sarah. Sarah says, Abraham, I got a good idea how that we can bring this about. Because, I mean, you're an old guy and I'm an old woman, and we can make it happen if we get our prayer life together and we get enough people praying and get a prayer chain and get this on Facebook. We can get it going. Here's what we're going to do, Abraham. Here's what we're going to do. You got a handmaid. God has thrown the covenant out there. Here's what we need to do to keep up our end of the bargain. You go into Hagar and we'll bring forth this seed and we'll be blessed. Good idea, Sarah. So what did he do? He goes into Hagar. Boom, out comes Ishmael. Ah, we got it. Thy seed. God, thank you for your blessing. Now, here in Genesis 16, and Hagar bare Abram's son. Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. You know what Ishmael's name means? Blessed of God. No. It means wild ass. It means that which cannot be conformed. It means that which cannot be brought into subjection. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And not subject, cannot be conformed to the laws of God. That you produce cannot be brought into subjection. I don't care how much you pray about it, or fast about it, or get on Facebook about it. Cannot. We have all brought forth an Ishmael. All of us. Because only God can bring forth His true son. And it wasn't brought forth by flesh and blood. And when Abraham was 90 years old, and 99, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy seed thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. Now see, here's what we're about to do. Something's about to happen. Abraham fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, ask for me. I love that little verse right there. Ask for me. You know what God is saying? Look, Abram, I know you've brought forth Ishmael. But ask for me. You ain't changed my mind a bit. Ask for me, my mind is made up. As for me, I've already declared I'm going to make thy covenant with thy seed. And that's what I'm bringing forth. Now, you can either comply with the program or not, but as for me, I ain't changing from this. I've said it, and I will bring it to pass. As for me. You see what I'm saying? As for me. Now, let me just... Verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee thy seed after thee and the land wherewith thou art a stranger, the land of the Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. He's talking about him and the seed and the increase of that seed. And, you know, I've read the Bible a couple times and I didn't realize. I always thought Sarah laughed. Do you know Abram laughed? I'm going to show you right here. Verse 17. Genesis 17 and 17. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed. Said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old? God, we got a better idea. Let me tell you what, God. Let me save a little bit of work, God. I've already brought forth Ishmael. God, I love him. He looks just like me. I brought him forth in my image. Now, God, if you would just bless Ishmael. If you'll just bless Ishmael. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, God, if you could just see what I've done for you. And I've done this out of love of my heart for you. I've worshipped you. I've praised you. I've brought this forth. God, if you could just let these fruits that I brought be worship unto you, God. If you could just let these great songs that I sing stand before you, God. And this worship and the sacrifice that I've given unto you, God, if you could just let Ishmael live, I've gave you the best that I had. Isn't that what the offering Cain brought? I've presented that offering to God so many times. I've prayed the prayer of Abraham, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God, if you would just get me out of this one more time, I promise never do that again. Till the next time. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Let's go over here to John 17. John 17. Now, I'm going to start in verse 9. But I'm going to be skipping around. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray, let me read that again. I pray not for the world. Now, what world is he talking about? He's talking about anything of the first. He's talking about Judaism. He's talking about religion. He's talking about Adam. He's talking about Ishmael. He's talking about Esau. He's talking about Jacob. He's talking about anything of the first. I pray not for anything of the first. Pray not for anything that's corrupted. Because that's corruptible is perishing. It's passing away. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Where is he glorified? Where is he glorified? In them. Them who? Them that are mine. I thought he was glorified in the heavens. I thought he was glorified over yonder. So I thought he was glorified. I'm glorified in them that are mine. Where is he glorified? In them. He starts this chapter out, Father, glorify me. Now where is he going to be glorified? In you. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I am come, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. I just wanted to show you something here. That they may be How many? One. Even as we are one. Let's just look at this here real quick. They may be one as we are one. Now, Jesus is praying to the Father. This is Jesus' prayer to his Father, right? This is Jesus' prayer. Disciples' prayer is Matthew 6. We started right there. This is Jesus' prayer. He says, Father, that they may be one. Let me just write that. That they may be one, even as we are one. Now, let's just look at this right here. That they. Who's the they? Who's the they? Those are the ones that are his. That's the us. That's the us. That we, us, one. Even to the same degree that the Father and the Son are one. Now look at that. Not us and them being one, because these live in us. Am I making any sense here? Even as the Father and the Son are one, that we be one. People don't get that, because today we get, let me show you that. I got this little picture here, but I'm going to try to draw it up here. Here's two views of relationship. Two views of relationship. And then I'll have to. So what we have over here is, let me draw this circle. Let's see. We got the Father and the Son. And then here's what we got from this. We got me, and then we got Patty, and then we got Jeff, and we got Oak. You see there? And then that's what we think. That we got a relationship. That's false. That's false. And see, most of our prayer comes out from that view. That's the normal view of our salvation. Our being brought unto God and given a relationship with God. So, see, what this means is I got my own relationship with God. Me and Jesus got our own thing going, and that's false. That is false. This leaves the anchor to my soul bound up in me. This is what's being preached throughout the Lord's body this day, is this view right here. But that is not true, guys. That is not true. If that's the case, what happens when I mess up? Unless you guys are walking on water, you blow it sometimes. Unless you guys, you see what I mean? So I'm in this relationship, but here's what we preach. Oh, well, there's grace. Let me show you something here, guys. God, everybody says, God is love. Yes, he is. How many people tell you God is just? God is righteous. So let me tell you what just means. Just means, here I'm God and there's Clyde. Clyde's Adam. As soon as Clyde messes up, because I'm just, Death is required. Death is required. Now we can say, I forgive him, but then I'm not just anymore. I'm not righteous anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? As soon as Clyde sinned, I mean, this is in the Bible, the day thou readest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so his justice has never changed. So what can I do with this man? What can I do with him? Because I'm a just God unless I change. I'm the God of the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, and I change not. So unless I quit being righteous and just and holy, I can't give grace. So there's a dilemma here. So nowadays, you can do whatever, God forgives you. Listen, I can't do anything with that man, and my justice requires death. My justice requires it. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. You don't believe it? Try it. Go home tonight at 10 o'clock when it's dark and turn the light on in the room. And see if half the room is light and the other half is darkness. I guarantee you the light will dispel the darkness. They cannot dwell together. Cannot. So the only thing I can do to that man is put him away and give him, grace, the life of another. Paul got this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet now I'm living by the life of another, and I'm not going to try to bring this life of Ishmael back over into this thing. Because if I do, God's justice won't let it come in, God's judgment, the cross says, no way. Now how do I forgive this man? Wait a minute, dumb preacher, what about forgiveness? God forgives, that's how he forgives. Clyde, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you away. Now, whosoever will, let him come and drink of this water. You can live by another. And I will recognize the life of one. I'm not going to recognize your. My justice won't allow it. My holiness won't allow it. That they may be one, even as we are one. That they live. How are we one? Because we all live by one life. I don't have my life and you got your life. See, that's what people don't understand. Oh, I got my life. Let me go out there. I got to make a living. You're fooling yourself. You only have one life, and it's the life God has provided. God so loved the world. This is the way God loved the world. That's what it means. You don't have to write it on your belly. How did God love the world? He didn't pray for the world. I just read you that. I just read you in John 17, I pray not for the world. Wait a minute, Jesus loves everybody. I didn't say he didn't love everybody. This is how he loved them. He put them all to death. He put them all to judgment. And he said, Father, it's finished. They can all stand here in me. They can all stand here in me. I am the healer. I am the one who has healed the whole thing. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the righteousness. I am the holiness. I am the glory. I am all things. I am the Amen of God. See, we view relationship and we get a worldview. God knew that you couldn't even bring a worldview into this thing. So if you want to study about relationship with God, study the priesthood. Because the priesthood gives you your relationship with God Almighty. Now, how many in the church world today understand the priesthood? About 1 out of 1,000 will ever even preach on it. Jesus is the great high priest. They don't understand that the only way you come in here is in a breastplate of judgment. I love that stone, they inscribe them names on that stone. You know why? Because, you know why? Look here. Here's me. It wasn't inscribed, was it? I just wiped it right off. But yet on these stones, they got a man with an engraving tool. And he wrote something on there. He wrote something on there named Jim Moore. And it's Jim Moore's name can't be wrote off of this stone. And this stone, when God sees that stone, he says, Clyde's dead. Clyde's already been judged. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I can pass over. Because I'm not seeing Clyde as alive anymore. Because my holiness won't allow it. My justice won't allow it. When I see the name inscribed on that stone, and it begins to sparkle now because it's a lively stone. Because right behind it's the Urim and the Thummim, likes and perfections. I can say, wow, built up into a spiritual house. You see what I'm talking about? I love that my name is inscribed there. It can't be moved. And it's set in gold in that breastplate. Tied to that great high priest. Can't be separated from him. It means I have no other life but Jesus. Now, let me show you a true view of relationship. So here we got Father and Son. Father and Son. And now I got Father and Son. I got Father and Son. I got Father and Son. I got Father and I got Son. There's the view. Where am I at? Where am I? So see, it don't matter. It don't matter if I'm single, if I'm whatever. I have a relationship living in me. I've been called into the fellowship of the Father and the Son, and there's a relationship that abides in me already. Amen. See, we pray out from this. When this is the reality, this one is an anchor to my soul. This one here is sure and steadfast, immovable. Does that, am I making any sense? Father and the Son. Living in me. Father and the Son. I'll make my covenant. This eternal covenant. Ever unchangeable, immovable covenant. That what? And I am glorified in them. See, I lost the I. The I is no more identity. There's only one. But I mean, Paul didn't say, well, God. He said, I'm crucified. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Seeing this view.
Yeah. Amen.
Seeing this view. And see, now I can be content because over here I'm worried and I'm praying about the me. Over here I'm worried and concerned about my relationship with God, because what happens if I don't feel spiritual this morning? Right? I don't feel good this morning. See, as long as it's a me and I'm not feeling good and I need some preachers to get me jumping up and down and shout hallelujah and all of that. But what happens on Tuesday? What happens when all hell breaks loose? And if it hadn't happened to you yet, it will. Can you learn to be content in all things? Can you learn to be content when you lose everything? I had to learn this. I had to learn this. I had to learn what it was like to lose everything. And what got me so bad was I didn't want to lose me. Oh, Lord. I didn't want to lose me. I was worried about my reputation. Oh, God. Got to have a good reputation. Jesus had a good reputation, but he made himself of no reputation. He became of no reputation. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Why? Because God's justice required it. God's holiness required it. That this could be it. That I may be glorified in them. You're saying, what does all this have to do with prayer? Let me show you something here. I don't know where my towel went to. Let's see if this will erase. Oh, it ain't going to erase too good.
Turn your board.
It's got red on the backside too. Somebody has been drawing stick
red. You've read, you've
Yeah, I've been spending writing. Oh, Lord. This ain't going to be pretty. Yeah. I need my towel. I don't know what I did with my towel. I bet there ain't many preachers drawing pictures today. Did I leave it back there, Jeff? Just a couple paper towels will do. Yeah, that looks pretty. That looks pretty. You see, when we pray these prayers, we pray out from the wrong view. Thank you, Patty. Oh, spraying out to the side and everything. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, that's good enough. When I'm reading the scriptures, I'm looking at direction. Okay? Now, when I'm talking to you guys, a lot of times I'm talking about those who are hungry for the Lord. That's why I appreciate you guys so much. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," he was talking to the Jews, but he was talking to those really concerned about their relationship with Jesus. Those really concerned. And I began to be concerned with it, because when I realized that Father and Son was in me, see, I'd realized before that I was over there always trying to please God, always trying to be the object of God's desire, be the one who made God smile. And sometimes I even felt like, man, I have did so good today. Jesus is smiling and God is smiling, saying, look at that boy and what he has done. But then I would be sitting there in my mind knowing, I just hope he don't really, you know, go into this part of the house, because it might not be too pretty. So we have the Father. And then we have this first son that comes about, Adam. I drew me a picture, yeah. I could take this right back to the garden, guys. I could take it right back to the garden and call this guy a tree. He's a tree. He's a tree. What do you mean he's a tree? He's a tree of what? Of the knowledge. Of what? Good and evil. There he is, guys. And his whole life, he's trying to please this guy. But see, when he's first created, he's in a state of innocence, right? In other words, his true condition is not really revealed. But there's another tree in that garden. And it's called Christ. Oh, a tree of life. Tree of life. Now this guy's got a choice. He can live by this life or live by this life. He can have a view of the first relationship, which he tried. Me and God's going to have our own relationship. And what happened? When God came to be in that relationship, he fled away, covered himself in fig leaves, and saw that he was naked and afraid, and hid himself. Hid himself. Well, you know what God had to do? God, in order to be present with this man, had to hide himself. He hid himself. He hid himself. The father did, and he hid himself in secret. Or behind the veil. Or in the mystery. Or in the testimony. Paul calls it, he hid himself. He did all of that. Hid himself. But now, the mystery is made known. Unveiled, open face. You see, we got this tree of life here. Now, this tree of life here, let me show you something here. This tree of life only brings forth one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. The fruits of the flesh are these. The fruit, one, of the Spirit is the life of Christ Jesus. Now, let me show you about this fruit over here. Here's this tree, and he's got all these limbs on him. And the knowledge of good. Well, let's see. Here's Adam. Here's Esau. He's bad. Well, wait a minute. Jacob. He's good. How about David? Oh yeah, David. He's good. Oh, King Saul. He's bad. Right? How about Cain? Oh, Cain. He's bad. About Abel? Oh, he's good. How about Clyde? Clyde, he's good. How about Jim? Oh, he's bad. He stinks. Right? That's what we do. Because all of these are in the image of this guy. And he's bringing forth good people and bad people. Good people and bad people. Oh, I know him. Oh, he's a good one. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jeff. Boy, oh, Jeff's a good one. Man, I know Jeff. Oh, man, he's a good guy. Jeff's on the wrong tree, too. Josh, I know Josh. That scoundrel. That daggone scoundrel, Josh. How about, let me show you a verse here. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Oh man, here is the last prophet speaking. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, our children unto himself, our children unto Abraham. Right? Of these stones. You reckon they're lively stones? You reckon they're the stones that come up out of the river Jordan? You reckon they're the 12 stones that fit right into the breastplate? Say not, we have Abraham to our father. That's why, brother, I've been in the church for 45 years, and my grandpa was in the church too. We started this church. Say not, we have. Flesh and blood will not inherit this kingdom. It only comes by one, because there's something here this prophet is about to say right here. And he said that now. He wasn't prophesying about the future. John prophesied and said, and now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. good fruit. Everyone that is not bringing forth this fruit, the axe is laid. Here we go. The axe. Right there. Cut down. Cut down. Now, let me give you a verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Oh, Lord, this ain't going to go over well. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now the axe is laid to the root. If I be lifted up, now is the judgment of this world. We all must come to the judgment seat and receive in the body whether we did good or whether we did bad. Daggone Esau is going to find the same lot as David. They all slept. All brought to judgment. All brought to the judgment of Christ. Why? That we all may live by the life of another. Because this is the only life that God recognizes. I am the life. Except they come by me, you can't come to the Father. There is no other way. There is no, well, I'm David. I'm Solomon. What happened to every one of those guys? Every one of them. Even the great apostle Paul himself said, man, I'm crucified with Christ. Let me show you another verse here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. But made of himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of what? Men. Made in the likeness of this one right here. Summed up, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, every one of them, into himself. It's what he did. If I be lifted up, and he drew every one of these men, every one that this guy can ever produce, drew them up into himself. Jesus said that. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. This he spake of his death. And being found in the fashion as a man, one of these, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, became obedient unto the axe, even the death of the cross. Now let me go right back to Philippians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is the judgment that must be running into us. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died, all died. We all must come before that judgment seat and reckon that to be so. That I'm not standing here, that there's a relationship that lives in me. And that he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves. Well, wait a minute, I done showed you. That they may be one. That I have no relationship with the Father except we be one. My relationship with the Father is the same as yours. Oh, I'm going to get Clyde to pray for me because he's a lot closer to Jesus than I am. I got the same Lord and Savior that lives in me, lives in you, the same one. And let me tell you what, Clyde, he's glorified. He's a risen Savior. It's not the dead one that lives in you. It's the risen Savior, full of eternal life, the amen of God, the pleasure of God. The satisfaction of God dwells in you. And the scripture said, he that is begotten of God sinneth not. Who is begotten of God? Christ himself. Yeah. And the Father ain't looking at me. He made the covenant between him and the seed. He's beholding the seed, the life that dwells in you. My God, you want to talk about grace. Grace is, he don't behold you. He beholds the one that lives in you, and thank God for it.
Amen.
Because that's unmovable. It's unshakable. No matter how I feel. feel. There is something eternal that lives in me, and I am glorified where? In them. The whole earth is filled with the knowledge of what? The glory of God. This is eternal life, that they might know me. Now, has your prayers been that way? This is eternal life, that they might know me. My Lord and my God, I know the answer to every prayer. God's answer to all of it. Oh God, if you'll get me out of this situation, God already has. He has already brought you to His holy mountain. God, if you would just heal me, He already has. God, if you would just give me life, He already has. We used to say this, and I didn't see how true this was till later on. My God, the cure is older than the disease. Yeah. The cure came first. See, in our world, the cure comes after. I mean, we're just thinking around diabetes. What is that? Oh, now we need a cure for it. Give me all your money. My God, there's the cure has already been. The cure was right here.
Yeah.
We're praying and giving money for everything else when what we need is one thing, a revelation. God, open our eyes that we might see what is done, what is finished. The amen of every prayer standing there. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know Him. There's prayer, guys. Now let me show you something. I'm just going to hit on this real quick. Go back to John 15. John 15. Because here we go. And I don't know if I'll be able to draw anymore or not. I am the true vine. What's Jesus saying right here? Y'all thought this was the true tree. But I'm the true vine. I'm it, guys. I'm the truth. Let God be true, every man a lie. If one of these is true and one of them's a lie, which one's true?
That's
right. She's questioning it. Which one's true? If two men's in the bed and one's taken and one's left, which one of these is taken and one's left? Then he might take away the first and establish the second. Which one was first? This one was first in the natural.
Yeah.
That one would be left. Which one? I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. That means the caretaker. That means the one who's, you know, the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, what's He talking about right here? So now He's cutting off branches? So now, by God's side, you better get it right over here, brother. He's going to cut you off. I just read that to you. That's what it seems like when we're reading. But see, He laid the axe to the root of this tree. This tree He didn't prune. This tree He cut down. But now this tree He prunes. Right? But see, if right here's where I am. Right? So I am no more. So now what's He cutting off over here? Me? No. Doesn't cut me off. So what's He pruning and bringing forth? This is how Paul would say it. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting. That's how He prunes it. That's how you begin to prune. That's how the renewing of your mind. Forgetting those things which are before, which are behind, and pressing on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, right here we were dead in sin. Right here we're dead to sin. But you see, look, I'm dead in sin. I'm dead to sin. But something else has got to take place. There's three. We talked about this on Monday night. Now I got to forget those things that are behind, right? I got to turn repentance. But alive unto God. Now I'm forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on. You see what I mean? I'm dead in sin, dead to sin, but alive unto God. Do you see that? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. 9 you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So we got a tree right here. Now you can't go out there and cut the limb off of the tree and that tree bring forth the apple. Can't do it, Clyde. Can't do it. It's got to abide in the tree. It's just the law of nature right there. Has to abide. Now listen, the fruit of the tree is for the healing of the nations. I mean, it says that in Revelation. The fruit of this tree bears 12 manner of fruit, not fruits. The whole creation is longing for the fruit of this tree. We want healing. My God, pray for fruit. Comes out of this tree. God, if you'll just bless me in this situation. No, what we need is you out of the situation. You to realize you're in this situation and the world is needing this fruit, which is the increase of Christ. Let me just keep on reading. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather it up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you don't abide in me, if you try to go back over to this guy, cut off. As long as Israel abode in the testimony of God, they were blessed. But when they walked outside of the testimony, here is Aaron, and he's got 2 sons. And his 2 sons, they offered up strange fire on the altar of incense. They brought in strange fire. They were supposed to go out to the altar, the brass altar, and get the fire from off that altar and bring it in. The fire from off of that altar is what consumes the whole thing. It burns up the sacrifice. But they said, they're already in here. They say, well, you know what, it's a long walk back out there. Let's just, you know, I got some flint, and let's just kindle our own fire right here. It'll be fine. God said, light the altar. You know, God's a God of grace. It'll be all right. What did he say? Listen, Aaron, I told you, tell them boys, don't do that no more. He killed them. He struck them down dead. Because there ain't no other fire coming in here except the fire of this sacrifice. It's the only fire allowed. It's the only fire there ever will be allowed in this place. It burns up everything else. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and this shall be done unto you. My God, we'll pull that verse right out of context, and we'll go pray to God. We'll ask what you will, God, if it could be your will. Bless me. What's our whole context I've been talking about here, guys? What is the context of this verse? What is the context of this whole thing I've been reading? It's fruit. You can't bring forth fruit to yourself. This whole thing is fruit. The whole context of this whole thing is bringing forth fruit. And then he says, if you abide in me and you ask whatever you will of your Father, it'll be done to you. Let me ask you a question. What Jesus is saying here, when your desire becomes nothing else but fruit, whatever you ask, Clyde, will be done to you. Now, if your desire is anything other than this fruit, it's cut off, cast into the fire, and burn it. And as God told Abraham, ask for me. My mind is made up. And I don't care how many friends you got on Facebook. I don't care how big your prayer chain is. Ask for me. My covenant is with me and thy seed. And when your heart is set on things above, ask what you will. When it's concerning my son, Ask what you will, Patty. When your heart is concerning my son, ask what you will, and it'll be done. But if it ain't concerning my son, don't bring it in here. How much prayer is concerning his son other than getting his son to do something for us? Dear Father, make your son my servant. Make your son do something for me. God said, as for me, you see, I'm just talking direction. I'm just talking direction. And then he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples, bearing much fruit. Now let me just throw this out. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you keep my commandments. See, I told you we was going to get back to something you had to do. Got to keep my commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, honor mother and father, and thou shalt not covet, and all them other things. If you keep my commandments, right? Jesus said that. I was right. I got a red letter King James Bible right there. If you keep, what's he talking about? Keep my commandments. Because this is not the only place it's put in there. This is where we have to go. And when we go to look at the commandments, what was the commandments? What did they do? The commandments testified of the one to come. The commandments spoke of righteousness. The commandments declared life. Could not give it, Clyde, but it spoke of holiness. It spoke of righteousness. It spoke of justification. It spoke of wisdom. It spoke of these things. They were magnificent. They were called the oracles of God. It spoke of these things. And he said, if you'll keep my commandments. What is he saying, keep my commandments? Because it was never something you were supposed to do. But if I will keep myself in the one that it testified of. If I will just set my affection on the one that it speaks of. I'm abiding in him. See, he's just saying the same thing. Abide in me. When David said, when he talked about the wings, what was he talking about? The wings of God's love. Isaiah, I'll bear you up on eagle's wings. There wasn't but one place these wings were found. And that was in the most holy place, in the secret place, in the place Israel couldn't get to, in the place that was behind the veil. They knew there was wings in there. How? Because the veil had a picture of the cherubim on there and the wings, and it testified, and they could look at that veil and say, my God, that heaven in there must be a wonderful place. I know there's life in there. Aaron's rod that budded it is in there. The golden pot of manna is in there. The ark of the testimony in there. God's mercy is in there. And Abraham, and they all knew it, and he longed for our day. But Jesus told him, Abraham saw my day and was glad in it. This is the day that he has made. Today is the day of salvation. How many see that? How many see that the veil is done away? We're at in Christ Jesus. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Whosoever is thirsty, let him come to me. Who is thirsty? Up. I'm talking about a river, not a well, a river that flows out of the throne of God. I'm not preaching to you some stupid well no more that the stones roll upon. You got to roll the stone off every Sunday morning when the preacher comes in. I'm talking about a river of life that flows out. And on the midst thereof is the tree of life. Not this tree, only one tree. And the fruit is for the healing of the nations. This river of crystal clear water, and out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. I hope if I do nothing else, I can incite a little something of how serious the moment is that we have before us. There's never another moment like this moment right here. Never another one. Got a nation. We got a world out there of busy people. Why are they busy? They're looking for what's dwelling in you. Their prayers are all of want and need. And my God, yours is of finished. Let me ask you this. Is there a need God hasn't already provided you in His Son? I dare you, tell me. Tell me what need you have that He hasn't already given you in His Son. What prayer could you bring into this place? Because our prayer is always about need. No. Our prayer should be about revelation. Father, show me what you've already done. Now he can say, oh, Patty, I can answer that prayer. I can answer that prayer. Because if you're trying to get me to do something I've already done, ask for me. I've already done it. I've already done it. No, I'm seated. The high priest we offered one time, and he sat down, Patty, and he ain't getting back up. He ain't getting back up. He offered one time, and he sat down. And what does that say, Clyde? It's finished. It's finished. Pray for me God would get up off of his seat, come down and heal me. Almost like bringing blasphemy into the church. And we're saying, God, you didn't finish your work. Now get up off your seat and come down here and visit me. God so loved the world, he has provided everything in his blessed Son. And if you'll ask me according to that whatsoever you will, it'll be done unto you. But as for me, draw a line in the sand. I don't want to answer anything else. I pray not for the world. I will answer only according to that. When you set your affection on things above. You see, that's a hard thing in it when it comes to prayer. Just go home and read Facebook and you'll see it all over the place. Everybody's wanting prayer for this and that and this and that and this and that. And there's only one prayer to be prayed. Father, reveal your Son. Reveal what you've already finished. That the nations would come and see their healing. Already been done. You know what a disease is? Paul would say it this way. It's a schism in the body. It's a division. It's like when a thorn breaks through and splits something up. And that's a schism in the body. It's a division. What did Paul pray? That there be no schisms in the body. In this body, there's not any schisms. Now, Jeff and Emma playing these songs. Go back to this relationship. The high priest. Before the high priest could go in before the presence of God, you ever see how many times he had to be washed? Now, Jesus is our great high priest. But he had to be washed, lad. Washed again. Washed again. Washed his feet. Washed his hands. Washed again. Washed again. Put on the fine garment. What's he being washed from? And I know you're thinking, what's he talking about? Why is this important? Because when he says, you're clean through the word. What's he being washed from? Who did the high priest represent? He represented all Israel. So in this body, which we are one, what is the body? Because he doesn't deal with Clyde. He doesn't deal with you. He deals with the body. So what's he cleansing the body from? He's cleansing the body from Clyde. That's what he's doing. He's cleansing the body from Patty. That's what he's doing. Because this. So when he says, washed with the water of the word, he's washing me away till only one remains. You see what I'm talking about? Till only one remains. I know this is not flesh message. It's not pretty to the flesh. The flesh don't like it. The flesh wants my own relationship, but there's only one. This relationship. relationship abides in me, so he's washing me. He's cleaning the body from me. Do you see what I'm saying? He is cleaning the body of Christ from the rudiments of me, from the rudiments of the flesh, until we are one, even as him and the Father are one. Because as long as there's a me, then there'll be a you, and there'll be a division. See, that's the whole society of church that we live in today. Is a church of division. A church of me's, and all these gospels out there preaching me's, God's about to move, all liars. And I'll just tell you the truth of it. God's not about to move. God already moved. God moved right here. And God finished it right here. That river's flowing. That life is there. Just come and drink. Supper table set. Come and dine. You ain't fixing no supper. Ain't making no bread. Whosoever will, let them come and eat. This ain't, I'm making bread. You know, I saw that movie, The Shack, and they was making bread. It's the only part I thought about. Jesus ain't making no bread. God ain't making no bread. When that man come into that house, the table was set. I understand it's symbolic, but I'm going to tell you what. I don't smell nothing cooking. I smell it sitting on the table. Holiness unto the Lord. The law of the house is holiness, Clyde. The law of the house is holiness. This is the law of the house. This is the law of the mountain. Holiness unto the Lord. I would like to go gather them up and shake them sometimes. I say, don't listen to that nonsense. Ain't you tired of hearing about you? I'm looking for those that say, sir, we would see Jesus. Those are the ones I'm looking for. Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, then you've come to the right place. Because if you want to look for you, go right up the road. They'll tell you all about you and how great you are and how big of a person you are and what God is about to do for you and about to give you breakthrough and about to prosper to you and do all these other things. I'm talking about one that's finished. One that's sitting on his throne, Patty, in glory. Already done. Fruit's ripe. Fruit ain't got to get ripe. Fruit's already ripe. Supper's already done. Table set. Come unto me. That's what he said. Just come unto me. Learn of me. This is eternal life. The very thing you're looking for. The very thing you're looking for. That they tell you is another time, another day, another generation, another dispensation. Jesus said, I'm the Amen. There is not another. There's not another sacrifice. There's not another life. There's not another way. I need it. Let me just get out of the way and turn this thing back over to Patty. Thank y'all for coming out, guys. Thank y'all so much.